Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 21. You say, this is the last chapter in the Gospel of John. Indeed it is. We have one more message, Lord willing, after this morning's. But John chapter 21 can be divided into three sections. There are three great lessons for us all as we follow Christ. In the first 14 verses that we've already looked at, John highlights the lesson of obedience in following Christ. Jesus reminded the disciples that he had called them to be fishers of men. The miracle of the extreme number of fishes that were caught at the end of their service as during the Lord's time on earth, as at the beginning, at the call, the same type of a miracle. And when he told them to cast their nets on the right side of the ship, he was showing that blessings come from obedience to him, obeying his word implicitly, not relying on their own knowledge, skills, abilities. So the first lesson to follow Christ, you need to commit to a lifetime of obedience. This morning, we'll look at Peter's confession in verses 15 through 17. And in this, we find a lesson of love. If we're going to be followers, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have a heart of compassion. And Jesus takes Peter away from the others and confronts him about his denial, his failure, and gives him another chance to confess his love for Christ. And so secondly, to follow Christ, you need to have a love for him. And then later in verses 18 through 25, we'll see a lesson of faithfulness of following Christ. Peter looks around. He notices John following also. And he says, what shall this man do? Verse 21, Jesus answers, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so to follow Christ, you need to keep following him faithfully and not always compare your life with the lives of others. So obedience, love, and faithfulness. Let's take these three verses in the middle of the chapter, verses 15 through 17 as our text. And as we do, as we read through this, I want you to put yourself in Peter's place and allow the passage to speak to you about your motivation for serving Christ. Why do you live the Christian life? What motivates you to read your Bible, to have a time of devotion and prayer, to come to church, to sing, to worship, to put money in the offering plate, to work in the nursery or serve in the Awana ministry, or do anything else for Christ? Some just go through the motions because that's what I've always done. Some are concerned of how it looks to others. Some because of their own guilt. Some because of the guilt that others put on them. Maybe they were brought up by parents who pressured them to go to church and to do all these things. And you say, you know, I've done all these things and I continue, but I've forgotten why. Well, I hope today your love for Christ will be restored and that'll be the motivation. You can do all those things without loving Christ, but you can't love him and not do all those things. So Peter, in this section, we recall his denial, his failure. He denied the Lord three times. But Jesus brings him back to this place of making things right with him and being restored to a place of service because of Peter's love for Christ. If you're serving Christ for any other reason than for love, you're in a place where you need the same kind of restoration that Peter needed. Let's just read the verses, and then we'll break it apart. Verses 15 through 17 of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The first point that I'd like us to see this morning is the need for restoration. Peter had denied being a follower of Christ, even knowing him. That denial is recorded in all four of the gospel records. Everyone knew about it. Peter knew everyone knew about it. Maybe that's why Peter swam to shore to help drag those net full of fish to land. Sometimes we try to replace a lack of devotion with some kind of duty, outward works. We think if people see how much I do, then they'll know that I really love God. Or maybe I'll feel better about my own failures when I just get involved and do work harder, serve harder. Peter knew things needed to be made right with the Lord. I would imagine that those events of the night that he betrayed the Lord, betrayed knowing him or denied him, replayed over and over in his mind. Isn't it amazing how our minds and conscience works? He must have wondered, can I ever be forgiven for what I said, for what I did? Will I ever know the joy that I used to have? Can this broken fellowship ever be restored? Well, let's look at the prophecy of the denial. That was recorded in all four Gospels as well. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 30, Jesus said to Peter, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. This day, even this night. If someone told you that in 24 hours you would fall, you would do something that you shouldn't do as a believer, you'd fall into some temptation, you'd sin, don't you think you'd be watching and really careful for the next 24? You say, once the 24 is up, they don't have to worry about it anymore. But in that time, this is what Jesus is telling Peter. Peter has seen the Lord do miracles. He knew that he was omniscient. He knew what was going to happen. But the warning didn't change Peter's action. In fact, you remember how Peter reacted when Jesus said this? Mark 14, 31, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. The other disciples chimed in the same way. The denial was prophesied. Let's consider the circumstances of the denial. I know that we saw that back in John chapter 18, so just to refresh our memories, Peter's denial was at the entrance of the palace of the high priest. John 18, 17, the servant girl who stood at the door recognized Peter. Aren't you one of this man's disciples? And Peter said, I am not. Matthew says, it was before them all. He had a chance to take a stand in front of all these people, all the ones who were there, but instead, he was a coward. And before you get too critical of Peter, let me ask, have you always given a bold witness for Jesus Christ every time that you've had the chance? Have there been times when fear has gripped your heart and you have just remained silent? That's why this passage can be so encouraging to us. Jesus wants to see Peter and use him as an example and realize, I need to confess sin. I need to reaffirm my love for Christ. The rooster was the animal that crowed, as Jesus said he would. Peter, when he heard the rooster crow, only denied once. Here's an opportunity to make things right. Not to go on with a second and a third denial. But the rooster's crow was just something that he heard. It was almost in the background, and he didn't even remember at that point what Jesus had said. And Peter denied again the second time. He was asked by those standing around the fire, art not thou also one of his disciples? And again, Peter said, I am not. Easy to say, just a few words, two words in Greek. The third denial was when he asked them by one of the servants of the high priest, did I not see thee in the garden with him? The servant was related to Malchus, by the way, whose ear Peter had chopped off and the Lord had restored. Mark tells us that those who were asking Peter recognized his accent. He said, he's from Galilee. And in response, Peter began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And then what happened? There was great conviction. The Lord used a rooster, crowed immediately after the first denial. The Bible says after the third denial, the rooster crowed a second, immediately, the rooster crowed a second time. And then also we have the Lord Jesus standing on trial, who made eye contact, glanced over at Peter, and their eyes met. We know that from what Luke writes in chapter 22, verses 60 and 61. Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." It wasn't the rooster's crow that Peter felt convicted about. That didn't register. But when it crowed the second time and the Lord looked at him, then he remembered. And I can only imagine what it would have been like to look into the face of Christ after that denial. What did Peter do when he remembered what Jesus had said? His conscience felt the sting of the guilt over what he had said. In Mark it says, "And he thought thereon and wept." Matthew and Luke both record the same words, "And he went out and wept bitterly." Has your conscience ever smitten you to that kind of sorrow? Where something just clicked in your mind and you knew exactly what you had done or said or thought was wrong. And you have this weight of conviction that drives you to your knees and you confess those things. And God sees this bitter weeping of Peter, and he sees your tears, and he knows when your heart is smitten over some sin, the need for restoration. Secondly, we'll look at the setting for the restoration. The setting must have been something that brought back memories for Peter. We consider this when we looked at John 21, 1 through 14. The seven disciples had been fishing all night, caught nothing. They heard the voice from the one on shore saying, "Cast your nets on the other side." And when they did, the miraculous catch of fish came. And Jesus said, or John said, "It is the Lord." And Peter put on his robe and jumped in the water and swam. It was 100 yards to the shore. I can picture Peter standing there by the fire, drying off. It's been 2 weeks since we've been here, so I wanted you to get that idea in your mind again. He's dripping wet. He's smelling the bread and the fish on the fire. He sees the Lord, and he warms himself near the coals. This is the morning. Don't you think that Peter must have remembered the last time he stood before a fire and warmed himself? The word used to describe a fire of coals in John 21:9 is only used one other time in the whole Bible, and that's in John 18:18, the place where it says that Peter warmed himself by the fire at the palace of the high priest, the place where he denied the Lord. I'm sure Peter's memory was very active that morning. After they ate, the Lord probably walked with Peter away from the other disciples to talk with him one-on-one. Verse 20 says that Peter turned around and saw John following them. So it would seem that Jesus and Peter were talking and walking away from the others, having this private discussion. And then Jesus confronted Peter. I find it amazing that Jesus was the one who initiated the conversation. God makes the first move to restore the believer who's out of fellowship because of some failure. Like the father of the prodigal son who was waiting, looking for the son to return, so our Heavenly Father wants us to return, wants confession to be made, wants restoration to take place. So Jesus initiated that. And it's a matter between Peter and Christ. And so Jesus lovingly brought Peter to that place of forgiveness by confronting him with his denial. And again, we invited the Holy Spirit in our opening prayer today to work in our own hearts. Maybe he's bringing something to your mind right now, or maybe just a few minutes ago as we've been talking about this. You know, you said something, you did something that needs to be made right. It needs to be confessed. He may be reminding you of that situation, that circumstance, will you respond like Peter did? You can respond in one of two ways. You can walk away from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and go home and try to forget that it ever happened. And some people will do that. Or you can go home with a peace in your heart that your denial or your action, your sin has been forgiven as a believer. And the joy and the fellowship that you have with Jesus Christ can be restored. Let's look last at the procedure in the restoration. It's an amazing conversation that goes on here. There are three exchanges between Christ and Peter. Each contains a question the Lord asked to Peter, and then Peter's answer, and then a charge from the Lord. A question, an answer, and a lesson. The first exchange, verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Jesus' first question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Look at the name that Jesus uses for Peter. That must have been convicting in itself. Simon, son of Jonas, or John. When Peter first came to Jesus, Jesus said in John chapter 1 and verse 42, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. He changed his name to a stone, to a rock. The name change is also recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 16, 17, and 18. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar is son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here, Jesus doesn't go back and call him Peter. He starts where he started. He reverts back to the earthly name, Simon, son of John. Godet in his commentary writes, It reminds Peter of his natural origin and consequently of the state of sin from which the call of Jesus had drawn him, but into which he had sunk again by his fall. Jesus doesn't ask, Do you believe in me? He doesn't ask, Will you start living for me again? Will you be faithful to me now? What does he ask? Do you love me? That's the heart of the issue. It's the question he asks each one of us this morning. Will your answer be like Peter's, Yea, Lord, I love you? When he has your obedience, your faithful service, your everything, you can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to put in my time. But you can do that without love, as I said before. But you can't not love him and not do those things. Love manifests itself in faithful service and obedience. And so that's the question. Do you love me? And that's the question he's asking you today. Has that changed at all in your life? Go back to that initial call. Do you serve because you love him? Listen to the love that's described here. There are different kinds of words that are used for love in Scripture. You've heard that before. Agape love. This verb would be agapao. Do you love me? And that's the word that Jesus uses. It's a self-sacrificing, a divine love. And Peter answered, Yea, Lord, I phileo you. I have this brotherly affection for you. As you look through the three times, the questions and answers, he says, Do you agape, have agape love for me? And he said, Lord, you know I have brotherly love for you. The second time, he says, Do you have agape love for me? And Peter says again, You know that I have phileo love. I love you. The third time, Jesus says, Do you have, and he changes to the word phileo. Do you even have that brotherly love for me? And Peter says, Yes, I have that brotherly love. Now, men are divided on the importance of how these words are used. Some say that Jesus was asking Peter if he has that highest form of love, that agape love for him. But Peter is unwilling to make that statement. So instead of saying, I agape you, I phileo, meaning I just have an affection or this personal attachment to you. And Jesus asked the final question, do you even have that? Other men look at this and they say there's no real practical difference between the two words. They point out that in John 5:20, phileo is used to describe the Father's love for Christ, for the Son. In John 6:27, phileo is used to describe the Father's love for the disciples. In John 20, verse 2, the love Christ had for John is called philos, the phileo love. Another point, if Peter is asking Jesus' direct question, or answering Jesus' direct question, do you love me, would he say, yea, Lord, yes, Lord, agreeing that he does indeed have that agape love, if he didn't? He would say, no, but I do have at least affection for you. So whether or not there's something we can read into those two words, some people do, some people don't. But the issue is, Jesus keeps coming back and asking. F.F. Bruce writes, it is precarious then to press a distinction between the two synonyms here, that is the two words for love. What is important is that Peter reaffirms his love for the Lord and is rehabilitated and recommissioned. There's also a comparison made when the Lord asked the first question, do you love me more than these? What's he talking about? It could be that he's talking about the love of the other disciples who are there. Do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Or Jesus could be comparing Peter's love for Christ with his love for his previous vocation, his love of fishing. Do you love me more than these nets and these fish, your old vocation? The answer is, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And then the charge comes, feed my lambs. There is a responsibility here. To feed, the word means to nourish, to keep healthy with a sustained diet. The object, feed my lambs. They're young sheep. The word here is different than the next two times. They're newborn sheep. So he's referring to those who are new converts in Christ. These were all new believers. They needed to grow. They need to mature in their walk with Christ. The application, Peter was to feed tender young believers. He was to provide for them spiritual sustenance so that they could grow in the truth of God's word. If Peter loved the one who died for the church, he would love the church in its infancy as a New Testament church here and make sure that they got the word of God and they were fed by it. The second exchange is in verse 16. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. The second question is his name is repeated, Simon, son of Jonas. Again, he uses that highest term for love, agape, but there's an omission. More than these is left out, probably because he wants Peter to just answer the question without any other distractions. More than them? Well, let's see. I might more than that or this. He's just simply asking, do you love me? And the answer, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And the charge, feed my sheep. Now, the word used for feed is not the same as it was in the first charge. In verse 15, feed was that word provide food for, to nourish. Now in verse 16, he uses a word that means to feed in the sense of shepherding, of tending the flock. It consists of a lot more than just eating the grass, but it's guidance of where I should go. It's obedience to the shepherd. It's not wandering from the shepherd. It's all of that involved in this second word for feed. He's telling Peter to lead them on the right paths, to direct them in truth. He also uses a different word than lambs. Here the description is a full-grown sheep. Maybe he's making the point that lambs need to be fed and sheep need to be led. And being a shepherd involves all of that. Look at the ones who need the truth of God's word. Feed them with those truths. And then guide them in their Christian walk. Help them to mature and grow. There's a third exchange in verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter is grieved now because he said the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. The question, again, Peter's earthly name is used. That's the one constant in all three times that Jesus asked the question. And now the Lord changes from agape to phileo, as I said. Do you really have this affection that you're claiming to have for me, this brotherly love? Is it genuine? The answer, first of all, John tells us that Peter's grieved. Just as there were three specific denials, Peter is asked three times to confess his love for the Lord. Godet writes, the threefold profession of his love for Jesus is to efface in some sort the threefold stain which he has brought on himself. He recognizes that Jesus is omniscient, and he says that, thou knowest all things. There's, again, an open affirmation of his love. Thou knowest that I love thee. John Phillips writes this, it was the confession of a man who had been put to the wall by his conscience and who stood now before the Lord broken, aware of his weakness, sensitive to his limitations, and afraid ever to boast again. And then the final charge, feed my sheep. Again, he goes back to that word that means feed, nourish, keep healthy, with a sustained diet. And again, it's feed my sheep, the adult, grown, mature, who need guidance through the truth of God's word. Look at the progression of this charge to them. Feed the lambs, the new converts, the new Christians. Second, tend to the shepherding, lead the flock of God. Third, feed the sheep, keep giving them the truth contained in the Bible. Well, what a wonderful example of God's forgiveness in this passage. Just a few verses. A Christian who has been called by God for a particular service, but fails and denies that he knows the Lord, and you can do that in a lot of different ways, either by words, you can deny him by actions, you can deny him by inaction, or words that are not spoken. But a Christian who fails in that sense can be restored to the joyous place of fellowship with Christ. That would have been really hard to be Peter at that shoreline. Jesus didn't make it easy, did he? Sin needs to be exposed and admitted to before it can be confessed and forgiven. The Lord didn't make it easy. He asked for a reaffirmation of genuine love, and the interrogation brought Peter to the brokenness of guilt and the realization of his sin. And then the Lord restored Peter to a place of service. We can't put ourselves back in places of service. Only God can do that. But we can respond to his question this morning that he asked each one of us as he asked to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He stands ready to forgive, just like we said to the father of the prodigal son. The verse is in the scripture to prove that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you can relate to Peter. Maybe there's something in your past that you wish had never happened. You wish you could just pick up as if it hadn't happened and just continue doing what you used to do. Jesus is the same today as he was when he stood before Peter and brought him to the place of restoration so he could be effective in service again. He may be giving you the same opportunity this morning to confess your love to Christ. If there's anything in your memory that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, has brought to your mind today, I trust that you'll take care of it. Confess it, forsake it, find mercy, find restored fellowship, find the joy of serving him again. Amen. As you used to. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we ask that in this time, your Spirit would work, and that we wouldn't go on with something in the past that just kind of pops up every now and then, but we'd confess it and forsake it and find mercy and forgiveness and have a restored walk and relationship with you, that fellowship that we need to have with you, so that you'll use us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.